You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Welcome to The Podfathers, a new podcast from KFC, Clem, and Uncle Chaps from Barstool Sports, breaking down the good, the bad, and the ugly of fatherhood. Other books and websites and podcasts have tried to explain what life as a new dad is like from a dude's perspective, or as told by a guy's guy, or maybe even from a man's point of view. All of them have failed. Through our own personal experiences and brand of humor, The Podfathers are here to help parents everywhere relate to the wild and crazy ride that is raising children.
What's up, guys? It's your pal Clem here, and if you guys are like me, it's about that time where you start dreaming of football. It's late July. It just has that feeling in the air. I just woke up and was like, you know what? I got to put my fantasy rankings together here. You get that feeling of excitement, and if we're being honest, a little bit of fear about how important this draft will be to you and how important fantasy is to you. My happiness for the next 6 months will be decided on draft day pretty much. And there's no better place to run your fantasy league than through Yahoo Fantasy Football. You can start a league now at yahoo.com/fantasyfootball or in the Yahoo Fantasy app. This is the thing, guys. We're always talking about how, like, you just need a break. You just need some time just to, like, relax. And fantasy football is really, like, the great escape for some parents. My wife and I both been in fantasy leagues. I've been in fantasy leagues since I was, like, in seventh grade. My wifey just got into it recently, and she's addicted. Back-to-back champions in our co-ed league, no big deal. She won 2 years ago, I won last year. And it's time. It's time to start getting ready, start getting ramped up, start dreaming about the fall. The best thing about Yahoo and fantasy in general is you can just look at your phone and you just can just watch those points come in. And it just gives you just a little bit of happiness, a little bit of an escape. It's just a little bit of light in that dark, dark tunnel of parenthood that's not going to end for another 18 years or so for some of us. Shout out KFC. But the Yahoo Fantasy app, it's been rated the best mobile app for 3 years in a row, the best place for commissioners. You can fully manage your league from the Yahoo Fantasy app. So if you can't get near your computer, boom, you got the app right on your phone. The kids are driving you crazy and the computer's at home or they're watching YouTube just to shut them up for a little bit. You can handle everything right on your device. You can draft, make trades, work the waiver wire, desktop, mobile, whatever floats your boat, whatever you have at the time available to you, again, to just keep those little monsters from crying or getting in your face. You can, and the best part is you can talk trash to your league. So after you're done calling the Mayday line and venting to us, you just let the rest of the fury out. That's the best part, in my opinion, is just to just ether people on the message board. That was always kind of the big thing for us, for my buddies and I. So again, check it out, Yahoo Fantasy Football. Start a league now at yahoo.com/fantasyfootball or in the Yahoo Fantasy app.
Well, welcome back to another edition of the Podfathers. Kevin is still in the hospital, bringing his baby home soon, so he's going to be doing the slow crawl drive home with two babies in the car. Clem and M is up in New York. He's got a new microphone, so we're doing the stay-at-home dad, stay-at-home blogger edition of the Podfathers. Clem and M, how are you doing, my pal?
I'm doing good, Chapsy. I'm with my whiskey boy to start the day.
Hell
good.
Yeah. It's more like McDonald's boy and Dunkin' Donuts boy. I've been crushing those bagel sandwiches from Dunkin' ever since we got them. Like, it's
Viva la Dunkin'.
Yeah, dude. And I'm riding high, caffeine high, monster little Dunkin' energy punch action got me going.
I feel like the young chaps, like, his blood was like running on Monster at all times. So sometimes, you know, you need to have a little bit of energy punch to just kind of rejuvenate you, take you back to the good old days. Kevin probably needs that really badly right now.
And that's what's got to really stink for the because, you know, the dads, that's one thing that they don't really talk about with parents, especially whenever the baby is first born, is the fact that dads can crush caffeine, and moms who are breastfeeding have got to keep it, like, super low with, like, green tea and shit.
Yeah, you could drink that bubbly. You can get, you know, have the celebratory drinks.
Maybe one cup of coffee can get away with, but you're not having multiple cups like we can.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man, as they say. And, yeah, the moms breastfeeding aren't going out smoking the stogies and, you know, celebrating with everyone else. Well, dads can do that. So, just, Kevin, stay on your best behavior. And if you don't, make sure you have stories for us for whenever you come back, because I'm excited. I am actually, like, on pins and needles waiting to hear like all the stuff he got into. And yeah, I saw he was like battling with some of like the nurses and shit. It should be incredible.
You know, like those old football interviews that you see with a guy like Jimmy Johnson, where you have like Dabo Sweeney is talking to Jimmy Johnson.
Or yeah.
Talk about him. And he's like, well, that guy forgot more about football than I'll ever know. I feel like that's the way it is when you have your second kid. You've already forgotten more than you know about parenting. So everything, like, especially with the gap, for me, it was damn near 8 years. For Kevin, it was like a year and a half. But there's still going to be stuff about the infant phase that he didn't even think about.
I feel like his first blowout, he's going to be like, oh, shit, this is what life is like again. And I heard he said to Brendan, who's like his older brother by a few years, like, I'm the older brother now. I'm the captain now. Like, you may be older in terms of years. I have more life experience than you, and I'm always going to, because I am now in the shit with two kids under two.
I feel like this Brandon would be like, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I have my one kid, and I'm good with that kid for right now.
It's not a race, man. It's not a race. We all go to the same finish line.
No. So what's been going on in the world of Mr. Clem?
Nothing much. We had was in the office a couple days. We had some MTV personalities come by for the challenge, so had to deal with had a chaperone them around, interviewed them. We have a CT podcast coming up at the end of this. We didn't have a ton of time with him. We got like 10-15 minutes in, whatever. But always interested to see what a man that I don't know if it was idolized or feared. It's like, you know, they say, like, it's better to be feared than loved. Like, I think I just feared CT my whole life growing up. So I got to talk to him about being a dad. He softened a little since you know, when we were young.
Since I watched the challenge and stuff like that when I was growing up, too, and MTV Road Rules, I think everybody in our age graphic did. Like, that was our Kardashians, essentially. Like,
yep.
Who we looked at. I am always shocked that no war films ever picked up CT to play like a young Lance Corporal grunt, like a infantry dude, because he would be perfect for it. He wouldn't even have to change his demeanor. Like, when I was in the Marine Corps, I would look at CT and be like, this dude should have been a Marine, man.
Yeah, CT was born to play that role of like the young kid that everyone liked, that was like a fucking monster of a man, and like dies way too early in the movie. He gets sad about it because like that, because of something stupid he did. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
CT was born to play that role in Hollywood. And I mean, he still looks pretty young, I got to say, for someone as old as him. I think a lot of his age is like unseen in like his bones and his muscles, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like if you're on MTV, you never really look old. They could probably still have the old school MTV VJ like Kennedy on there, and she looked like she was like 19.
Yo, man, shout out Kurt Loder, the whole nine.
Yo, the one weird-ass dude, Jesse.
Oh, Jesse was the fucking weird. That guy's blood was just straight heroin in my mind when I watched
that
him.
That was something else, man. I feel like when you're CT's age, though, and you're having kids, and you're like, because he's a carpenter, right?
Yeah, he's in carpentry or construction. I don't know. So he's down in Florida working odd jobs, I feel. So you never know.
Yeah, I feel like that's a skill that I wish I had, like carpenter. And there's a dude recently in Toronto who had those skills. And Toronto's mayor and the budget office had passed this bill, that a budget that was $65,000 for them to go to like a local park and build stairs. It was just stairs going from the street down to the park. You know, it's pretty common that the park place will be like in the ground, like a little bit lower than street level. So that's what was going on. There was no stairs. People were falling and slipping, going down the gravel. So this dad goes down, instead of looks at the budget and says, 65 grand, no way. He goes down, spends his old money, almost does like a little GoFundMe in the neighborhood, gets 550 bucks together, and builds it in an afternoon. Builds the staircase in the afternoon with the help of like some homeless dudes and shit like that. If you do that, you're king ding-a-ling on the street for a long time.
For sure. Like, dad strength can be considered, like, you could beat people in wrestling or contests, or like back people down in basketball. But dad strength is also having the ability to just like say, I'm not, like, that's way too much money, they're overcharging you, and then somehow like just go to another planet, another zone, if you may, like Frank the Tank in Old School, and just build like a complete ramp and hiring dirty homeless people to help you out. And just to say, I did that. You know what I mean? I unfortunately have not acquired that skill yet. I'm still a lumpy piece of shit in my house, but I appreciate every dad that gives us a good name.
I want to, man. Like, I even had this, I had this old, the fuck is the beanbag game called? Or you toss beanbags.
Cornhole.
Yeah, I had a cornhole game, and I saw, like, on Instagram this game called Chippo, where they, where you, like, chip it in. It's kind of like cornhole, but for golf. And I was like, yep. Huh, I could take this old cornhole thing with the saw that I bought my wife for Christmas and turn it into my little home version. Next thing I know, the fucking cornhole game is in like 8 pieces in my garage. My wife comes out, there's sawdust everywhere. She's like, what did you do? I was like, I was trying to cut a circle. She's like, how did you ruin this whole game just by trying to cut a circle? I was like, dude, I don't know. It's just who I am. Like, I'm not skilled with my hands. Like, I can write. I have a creative brain. But when it comes to, like, actually building stuff, I can't do it.
Thank God I got a job as, like, a blogger. And like you said, I can use my brain to say that, like, I'm not a complete waste of space on this planet. Because, yeah, I am. I'm the same way, dude. My father-in-law, he builds cornhole sets just for fun. Like, he does, he just builds them for, like, any family member that wants them. He takes pallets, he built, like, an American flag out of it, he painted it, did the whole nine. And when he comes over, like, my wife has a honey-do list for him, and it's the most emasculating thing about my life. Yes, every single dude. Time he comes over, because you know,
something happened with our doorknob. Like, occasionally our doorknob just falls the fuck off of our house, and we have, like, a pretty decent house, nice door. Like, everything's like oil rub bronze in here. But occasionally when you open the door coming home from Target, the doorknob just falls the fuck off. And my wife got fed up with it. And our neighbor across the street owns a construction company. And she made me go get the dude to put it on there, right? It hasn't fallen off in like a year. I just want it to. I open it up like real hard. I'm like, come on, just fall off. But it won't. It's on there like perfect now. It sucks.
God forbid there's ever like a tornado hits the Casa de Chaps. The only thing standing will be that doorknob by itself. The door will be gone. The doorknob will be just standing there on its own. But it's like, I told you Gary knew what he was doing across the street.
But the good news about it is that fucker's construction company that built my house. So it was his fault in the first place. So fuck
yeah. That's one thing that I think we should pass along to dads and new husbands out there, husbands to be. Like, if you stink at construction or at like just doing anything handy around the house, like I don't even think like the majority of stoolies are with you. I think like almost every one of us is in the same boat, except for people that own or work for construction companies. There's no way to just acquire that skill unless your dad told you how to do it, and my dad was like, no, I'll just do it myself, you idiot.
Yeah, well, I was so disappointed in one of the dudes that goes to the church that I do. He's an awesome guy. He works with like baboons and shit like that. Like, he's a monkey guy. Hangs out.
He's a monkey.
Yeah, big monkey guy.
That's what I want to put on my resume. Monkey guy.
In San Antonio, apparently we have the biggest colony in the world of baboons, like, that are studied, and he's like the lead guy for it. So we go over to his house. I'm a big monkey guy because I took like a primate class in college, and it was one of my favorite classes by far, like studying gibbons and shit like that. Huge shout out to gibbons. Huge shout out to bonobos, which is another type of monkey that looks kind of like a chimpanzee. Bonobos will straight up fuck anything that walks. They're like, they don't care. They'll get in a fight, and if they get in a fight, they're like, well, let's fuck it out. Like, that's just how they are. So they got some of those. Well, anyways, this guy has an awesome job. I don't feel like there's too many times that people have, like, a cooler job than we do. Like, pro athlete, maybe. Like, definitely pro athlete because they make a shit ton more money.
Yeah.
But, like, musician might be one, too. They make a lot more money, too. But our job is pretty cool. Being the main monkey guy at a monkey colony is pretty damn dope. So we go over to his house. Every piece of furniture that's wood in his house, he built it. And he's Jesus. Not a professional carpenter. And the dude's handsome. He likes to go for a run, like, as a hobby. So he's in good shape. Monkey guy, who can build, who's handsome. What the fuck?
That's like Owen Wilson in Meet the Parents. And you're just like, fuck this guy. How is he so good at everything? I like pisses me. You know what? Like, do you ever do this with your friends or even just like a stranger that you met or someone like this where it's like you just have to tell yourself like, oh, I bet he gets monkey shit thrown at him a lot. Like, you have to like figure out ways to like bring him down to your level. So
he does, but
life...
he's funny. He makes it funny. Like, he makes the shit stories funny. And it's just he's really endearing, dude. I like him, even though I shouldn't. He's a good guy.
I like you, Chaps, and you know what? If you vouch for him, then I vouch
for
him.
Yeah, I vouch for him. Blake, you're good with us, buddy.
King of the baboons. Blake, the king of the baboons. It's cool. Podfather approved.
So the dude who built the stairs, I can't think of – try to think of something that the neighborhood would value more than, like, the neighborhood moms at least would value more than a nice set of safe steps to get their babies to the playground. If you built, like, a pool, maybe, like a neighborhood pool, that could be endearing, but that costs a lot more money than $550.
And you know, people would be like, my baby could fall in the pool. Like, everyone's like, there's going to be the one family that's going to like dish shit on that pool because they don't want the pool because someone might fall in or something like that. Safety nerds, we call them around these parts.
Yeah. The only other thing I could think of when I first moved into my neighborhood, there was like, we had probably 20 houses on the street, and there's one lot that was pretty central that was open. And you could buy the lot for like $18,000. I was trying to talk my other neighbors into all of us buying it together and having a neighborhood-wide dog park.
Ooh!
Instead of putting it in. Because if you did 20 houses, you pay $1,000. That means one less house in the neighborhood. And you could just have a dog park. That would be awesome.
And you came up with the idea and other people shot it down?
Yeah. Mainly the builders, because they're like, no, because we'll make like $300,000. We're just going to sell you the land.
Yeah, looking back, that may not have been the best idea for them. But
it would have been cool. It was a good idea, and people looked at me like I had a dick growing out of my forehead.
What about a monkey park? Get Blake in the neighborhood, and we just start having monkeys in the neighborhood. I mean, I think that's a everyone wins kind of a scenario. You know what
he
I mean?
He says monkeys are terrible pets, and I believe him.
I believe him. I wouldn't fuck with a monkey. I like that's one of those things. It's like with a newborn baby. You like to see it, you like to visit, and then you give it back to the owner and say, all right, you know, good luck the rest of the way, pal.
Yeah, man, for sure.
All right, let's take a quick break from Podfathering to talk Dollar Shave Clubbing. We've talked about Dollar Shave Club in the past, and again, big time, long time fans of the Dollar Shave Club. Like they always say, the Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. You get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. We got a Dollar Shave Club razor and the Dr. Carver's shave butter. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I like it. I love it. My wife straight up jacked my razor and all the shave butter and shaving cream we got. And now I have to go and get my own. And you know what? It's not a big deal. It's affordable. It comes right to the door. It's not a big problem at all. And that's why you got to love Dollar Shave Club. No muss, no fuss. Everything's all gravy, man. For a limited time, new members can get their first month of the exclusive razor with a tube of their Dr. Cover shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5 a month. Shout out Sienna, baby. I hear you. I love you. We're talking Dollar Shave Club. She wants, you know what? You know, I know she's only 2.5. No better time to teach a kid how to use a razor than when they're young, right? That might be a little, maybe we'll take the blades out, but nonetheless, that's how much I love and trust the Dollar Shave Club. I let my own 2.5-year-old daughter at least look at a Dollar Shave Club razor. So again, for a limited time, new members get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of cartridges, 4 of them, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges automatically ship at their regular price. There are no hidden fees and no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/podfathers. That's dollarshaveclub.com/podfathers.
I'm worried for Kevin. I'm worried for Kevin because there was an over-under that I had in my mind of how long it would take him to make the announcement of when the baby was actually born. If you would have told me, what would you have guessed that the baby was born?
Like what time, like how long after the baby came out would he announce it or what? Yep. I would have said, I thought he was going to announce it straight up like as soon as literally the baby was clean and he had like a minute to just get away to his phone. So like within an hour minimum.
Yeah. I thought it was definitely going to be a situation where the baby's first picture was going to have like the goop in his eyes, like the medical goop. I was like, there's no way to get past that. Kevin went 7 hours.
umbilical cord still on. Yeah, I would agree. I think umbilical cord would have still been on. Yeah, 7 hours. Didn't tell anyone the name. I got thrown under the bus by our boy Welker, the t-shirt guy, for saying he said that we probably knew the name, the Podfathers. Kevin's not giving out that name to anyone. Once the roommate and him came to that agreement, the roommate doesn't want that shit getting out there. Look, loose lips sink ships, and bloggers were known to jibber jabber here and there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Like, I am shocked that he went that long. There hasn't been a major event in my life in the last 5 years that I haven't said on Twitter within like 30 minutes. I got a new car. Oh, bought a boat. Hey guys, got a new vacuum for my grill. It's pretty dope.
I've ruined so many good, priceless family moments because I have to tweet out and tell everyone like a joke about it or tell them what I'm doing. Like, my wife at this point is like, she's just resigned that every good moment we have is going to be ruined by me having to tell all my Twitter fam about it.
Oh, without question. That I'm just so impatient. My birthday is coming up next Wednesday. My wife has texted me every day this week because you know what happened Father's Day when I open up everything early. She's like, you son of a bitch. If you open anything from Amazon or that has my name on it, we're going to get a divorce. I feel like that's a fair threat.
Drops the hard D on you. That's
the first divorce threat of all time. I think she's just fed up with it. Well, it wasn't really my fault on Christmas because the things came not in a different package. It was just like, this is what it is, showed up on the porch. And the same kind of thing happened with some of the Father's Day presents, like the golf cart carrier. But the other ones I definitely opened. Definitely.
Now, this is the thing, though. Like, unless it's like a real heavy gift, I think wifey almost has to change the shipping address, her default shipping address to work, and just be like, this man can't be trusted from himself at this point right now. Like, you're a child.
Her name should be on it, should be like, don't open husband. Like, yeah. If that's who it's addressed to, I'll look at it and it'll immediately trigger my brain. I'm the husband. Do not open this.
See, this is the thing, though, Chapsy. I feel like you're a grip it and rip it guy. I don't think you even look for that name.
I get so excited when packages come, man. That's the best part about being an adult with an Amazon Prime account, man. You just fucking rip shit open. You get presents all the time. I drink a lot. Like, I don't even remember some of the stuff that I order from Amazon. And I have it where my Amazon doesn't even go to my email that I read because I want it to be a surprise to myself. Like, this is a gift from drunk chaps to sober chaps.
As soon as you order it, it's gone. It's like Christmas morning after 2 days, every single time. And as soon as you hit that ship button, it's like the weirdest thing. Like, it literally erases from your mind that you ever bought it. I don't know how Amazon did that, but that's how they're taking over the world.
I think that's what we should do on the Barstool store, because it's not real money if you just have to swipe your finger across. Like, if I have to actually pull my credit card out and type my credit card in, I'm much less likely to buy something. I'm way too lazy for that. And if I have to flip over the card, forget about it. I'm hitting that X button at the top corner. I'm not doing that shit. Like, I'm Chrome saving your account information and having the swipe button or the fingerprint, that's something we got to do in the Barstool store, because I feel like young stoolies would just be like, oh, yeah, I'll buy a sunshirt if I don't have to pull out my credit card.
Yeah, and I mean, you're talking about getting drunk and making this crazy decisions at random points of the night. That's our wheelhouse right there. That'll fund another Nantucket house for Dave.
Yeah, man, you got to do it.
That's the other thing, though, too. Like, Kevin also had – this is the only reason why I feel like Kevin might have waited. He had to know that once that picture goes out, Keegan Francis Clancy would be out there in the world. KFC 2.0 still can't believe he, you know, put that anchor on the baby to start. You know, the baby might be a Mets fan, a Jets fan, and he has the KFC moniker. Kids fighting from the first minute out of the womb. But now he has a rival. Now he has Dave Portnoy coming at him, coming for his neck, and he hasn't even left the hospital yet.
It's a shame, man. But I think young Clancy's going to do it. Like, he's got the look of a fighter already. He doesn't look like a little pussy baby. Like, he looks like he's...
Are you calling KFC 1.0 a pussy baby?
I bet he looked like a pussy as a baby, yeah.
Definitely did. He was definitely a pussy baby. I don't want to speak ill of our boy when he's not here, but KFC, you were definitely a pussy baby when you came out of the room.
Yeah, it looks like there might be some hope for some toughness in KFC too. Second model always gets better. Think about it. The iPhone changed the game. I feel like KFC 1 changed the game. He was the original iPhone. KFC 2 is going to be like an iPhone 5S. Now, once KFC 2 has a baby, now we're working with an iPhone 7 Plus. Like, that's going to be – Kevin's going to be looking at his grandson probably starting. Like, the maybe the athletic little pendulum is swinging back up to the top.
He'll be KFC 8.0 might be an average athlete is what you're trying to say. If evolution might make
no, KFC. I think KFC 2 is going to be an athlete. I think he's going to dominate. I don't want it to be unclear. I am definitely team KFC 2.
Oh yeah.
It's not that I'm not KFC 1, but if you made me pick, I would pick KFC 2 over KFC 1. Just well, on body of work.
100%. Yeah, of course. Just a body work alone. Nothing else. Nothing more. Nothing less. Like Big Cat said, though, like he said on the rundown, the big problem for KFC 2 is that this is straight out of The Godfather. Like he's going to avenge everything Dave's done to his father over the years, which is pretty goddamn bad. You know, it's straight up going back to Italy and, you know, old Portnoy's going to be sipping on some red wine in Nantucket and KFC 2 is just going to go daggers to the heart. Just for all the stuff that's been going on. Countless rundowns, countless blogs, laughing in his face, the whole nine.
And KFC 2 is kind of one up on Dave already because Dave keeps making fun of him for like just shitting everywhere. But little does Dave know that recently scientists have found out that you could tell just how smart a baby is by how they shit.
It's a goddamn genius.
I don't know how they do it. But they said that there is like microbiomes something. Don't quote me on that. Not a strong science word reader.
Not a strong reader in general.
Not a strong, but I'm going to give it a go. They sampled plenty of smelly stools from 89 one-year-olds, and they profiled the species on types of bacteria found within, and the samples were clustered in three different groups, one with high levels of bacteria. The highest levels of bacteria were geniuses. The ones with the lowest levels were the dumb babies. Like, that's not what it said to quote it, but they were less intelligent. So the more bacteria in your baby shit, you're a genius. I feel like that bodes well for me because I've had diarrhea for 10 years. I feel like there's a lot of bacteria floating around. Maybe I'm a genius.
This does explain a lot about my boy Chapsy. Like sometimes you have some one-liners and some tweets and whatever. I'm like, where the fuck did that little genius pull it from? You pulled it from your asshole, obviously. Yeah, literally.
You pull it straight from your asshole. Straight from there.
I thought initially it was going to be like if they had like solid poops, it was one way and bad poops, it was another. But I think that is when you could tell how smart your like parents are. Like the first time I gave my kid McDonald's, the next day it smelled like McDonald's and shit together. And I was like, never having McDonald's again while I'm changing diapers. So like that shows how smart the parent is how the shit smells. But apparently bacteria is like fucking midichlorians with the force, not to go crazy Star Wars with you guys. But
I
like,
don't know what that means.
It's all deep in the fucking chemistry, I guess. I don't know.
And they said that they could tell if a kid's going to develop asthma from the baby's poop.
Asthma?
How does science work, dude? Like, how do you look at poop and you're like, oh, yeah, this fucker's going to have asthma? Like, I don't get it, dude. Like, I can understand telling if a kid's going to have diabetes. That was another thing that they could tell from the poop is the kid is more likely to get diabetes. Maybe you have a higher sugar content in your poop. That would make sense. But asthma?
Doctor just walks by, opens the diaper, goes, oh, this kid's fucked, and then just keeps going about his day.
Like, that's a terrible lung disease in that poop. I don't get it, man. How does that work?
Oh, it's fucked up, man. But I feel like everything comes back to like poop in the end. Like in Jurassic Park, and they're going through that Triceratops turn, and they can like figure it all out. I don't get science, man. I just don't get science.
I don't either. And what you said about everything coming back to poop is completely right because it says that babies can tell – you can tell how smart a baby is based on their poop. Just yesterday, I saw this commercial that looked basically like Up, the movie Up. You remember with the old man and the balloons?
Hell yeah.
That kind of scene. But it was a dude who gets a box sent to his house by UPS so he can shit in the box and then send it to see if he has colon cancer. I feel like – we got to get past the point medically where we're just working on poop. Like, can we go back to blood? Can we go to hair? I don't want to shit in a box, man. That's splashy. Like, I'm not a fucking kitten.
Like, what if, like, that falls off? Like, if you're the mail person, like, that falls off and it, like, gets punctured. You just have, like, you know, if you're a mail person or UPS guy, now you're, like, this box. Like, you just see the address. You're like, this has shit in it. How are you supposed to go about your day knowing you're carrying shit? You have shit in the back of your truck. If this website gets popular, you know, like, Amazon during Christmas, every other box is Amazon. Like, every other box is going to be shit if this thing blows up, man.
Credit
That's
to
a
UPS,
problem.
UPS, though, for having foresight and having their uniforms be brown and their trucks
yeah. What does brown do for you, man? Yeah. Fuck.
Gets my colon checked out, man.
Oh, I had a friend once who was really sick. He was having like stomach issues and he had to literally shit in like a container for a week and he had to put him in the freezer and then bring him to the doctor. He was all done. And I'm like, I can never use your freezer again. Like I can never put anything in it because I don't know. Once a shit's in there for once, I can't Larry the goldfish being in that freezer. I'll never use the Barstool freezer ever again.
Unringing that bell. Once the bell's rang, you can't unring it. Like it's the same thing. Once it's been a shit freezer, it's always a shit freezer.
Germs are in there forever. The ghost of the dead germs are in there forever. Like it just is constantly germ city for me. So I don't know, man. Like you said, is there like I feel like it should be going the other way where it's like I take a picture of my eyeball and they can tell me my entire medical history. It shouldn't be going towards shit, which like the fucking cavemen were doing back in the day.
Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at Lisa Sleep. Lisa is an innovative company that's all about mattresses, and more importantly, Larry 2 sponsor, RIP to Larry, our friend Larry, Larry the Goldfish. The company has completely improved the dreaded old school mattress experience so much, we invented a tagline for them, mattress, 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 mattress. My daughter is coming home soon, I told you about that on the episode, and I can't wait for her to come back home, and she can't wait to go home because she's like, Dad, my mattress at my mom's house fucking sucks, it's nothing like my mattress that I have. She has a Lisa mattress. She can't wait to get back on it. Not sure what the online ordering is. All you have to do with Lisa, it's 100 night risk-free because nobody wants to go on a mattress. Usually you have to go into a mattress store with one of those creepy fucks that, and you have to jump around on the beds and all that and you feel bad about putting your feet on the bed. You don't have to do that here. 100 nights risk-free, delivered to your door. You could send it back at no cost to you. You get $100 off right now with lisa.com/barstool today to receive $100 off just for stoolies. $100 off at any time, lisa.com/barstool. That's leesa.com/barstool. For my military pals, Lima, Echo, Echo, Sierra, Alpha.com/barstool.
But Kevin's going to be knee deep in the shit game. I get so happy thinking about that. Like, when other people's pain brings me so much pleasure, and I think I had that from, like, my Marine Corps days. Like, the foreplay guys, the other day, they posted this picture of a dude who's on the tee box at the golf course and just gets absolutely obliterated by his buddy. Like, shanks a shot, hits him, and the dude's struggling to breathe. I laugh so hard, man. Like, I just love it. It just makes me so happy when those people are in pain. And the idea of Kevin cleaning shit out of his son's hair is just wonderful.
And it's like, it's funny you say that because I feel like when I see those videos and I'm at work, I'm laughing at their pain. When I'm like, if I'm on the golf course and I'm like just free, I'll be like, ooh, that's rough. Like, I'll still love the video. Don't get me wrong. But Kevin, yeah, he's definitely at the point too where I feel like he's probably going to be complaining a lot. And it's like, dude, you got like the easiest part of a parent is like those first 2 days. Other than the exhaustion, I'll say this for the dad, not the mom. The mom's still fucked up from the birthing probably. But the dad, it's like you literally don't have to do shit. Just wake up at weird hours. Like the nurses take care of everything. Enjoy those last like 48 hours of like freedom, basically.
Yeah, the first, I mean, really month for the dad is probably the easiest time it's going to be too because the baby just lays there all day. Like, you don't have to worry about tummy time. You're not worrying about any of that shit. You just, like, give the baby to the mom if the mom's breastfeeding or help out feeding, if that's what you're doing. You're changing some diapers. But that's it. Like, you don't have a whole lot to really – 2 years old is much harder than infant because you're chasing them around all over the place.
Yep. I got Sienna running upstairs right now in the Casa de Clement. It's fucking – it's distracting, and my wife has to just keep after at all times because she's running one-on-one, man-to-man. And now that's what Kevin's going to have to do with the roommate from now on. It's two-on-two, and when one of them is gone, it's two-on-one, and then you can't even play zone with one man, so they're fucked.
And that's the thing about having two at the age that Kevin does, too, is that She's not going to understand that. Like, cognitively, no. She's not going to understand that. Like, that you have to be quiet. Imagine 3-month-old baby just getting to sleep, had been fussy all day, and then here comes another 2-year-old just getting straight up fucking ham, wanting to watch some bubble guppies.
And what is she supposed to do? She doesn't know you just let this little baby who takes all of her attention away from her in the house. And then our boy Duncan, he's not going to know what the fuck's like. Duncan, like I said, I'm building a doggy door right now, Kev. If you want to just drop him off here, you can live here until we, you know, if we ever have a number two, then we're going to have to, we'll keep sending him north. But not like the fake north where they, you know, the dog just disappears. He's up in the country with Clem. That's what you can tell him.
Yeah. Going to be pretty brutal. McCartney's had a week. McCartney, man. Like, she's doing these swimming lessons now, which is damn cute. Like, swimming lessons, because Kelsey didn't do, like, the really regimented swim lessons. I just kind of threw her in the pool, and we figured it out. And
you hold the net, I'll throw her in the pool, and then just kind of hold her on the net.
Yeah,
she'll
just
learn
had
that
my,
one.
It was basically like swimming training wheels, where I just had my hand underneath her belly and would just be like, kick, 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 as we went across the pool, and eventually my hand wasn't there anymore, and she just could swim. McCartney's a little different, because she thinks she knows how to do everything. Like, if she does, for instance, if we do one little game where she has to locate a bug on an iPad, she'll do it. She can identify what type of bug it is. Immediately, she says that she's a scientist. Like, it's not like she goes from one extreme to the other, like, where, oh, I'm learning about science. She's just a flat-out fucking scientist. If she identifies that Otto has, like, a sore on his belly, she's not learning about dog health. She's just a straight-up veterinarian. Like, she knows. So now that she's been in a pool once without her floaty on, she's Michael Phelps. So she's just trying to jump in the pool, get away, get off her little dinosaur swimsuit anytime she can, and it is problematic.
That's a problem. I mean, we have Sienna going through swim lessons here. We're on our – she just had her third one, went underwater. Shout out Sienna. No big deal. Freaked the fuck out, but nonetheless. And – that's the thing, though. They're like, I want to go in. I want to jump in. And it's like, yo, your ass will die. And, like, how do you, like, tell your kids you will die if you just jump in that water and no one is around? There's
yeah,
really
same
no.
Thing with, and then they're terrified of it, dude. Like, I said it to McCartney the other day when we were in the parking lot. I'm like, get your little ass over here. You're going to get ran the fuck over and die. And so now, like, every time she's in, like, the Barnes & Noble parking lot, she's like, head on a swivel. Like, I don't want to fucking die in this parking lot.
Just goes pale ghost white whenever she sees a car moving in a parking lot now. I will kill myself, McCartney, if you go run in that parking lot.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Sienna, how does she feel about going under?
Did not enjoy it one bit. I wasn't there for it. I saw it on video. She was my wife had the goggles on, so she went under, and she said her face was like straight up emoji terrified face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was bad. But the other thing about it, too, is – maybe this is my fault. Like, I thought, like, after like 7 half-hour lessons, she would be like a fucking, she would be Michael Phelps. And, like, they don't teach him shit. Like, kick, 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 bubbles, bubbles, bubbles.
It's nothing, man.
Yo, give me the Kelsey method, man. Just fucking, like you said, sink or swim, man. Trial by error. Guess and check. That's how I live my life. That's how I want my kid to learn how to swim.
I don't get it either, because you spend so much money on sending them to there, and it is 30 minutes. What the fuck are you going to learn in 30 minutes, especially when you're with 5 other kids who are learning stuff? So in actuality, they're practicing for 5 minutes.
That's the swim lessons is the first time I realized. I go, oh, like, I mean, I'm not poor. I'm like middle class poor, I guess you could say. Like, the fact I'm middle class poor is the reason my kid won't be able to learn how to swim in 7 lessons. If I was like rich or middle class rich, I could probably just build a pool in the backyard, throw a fucking like Pamela Anderson Baywatch out there, and I have a kid who could somehow learn how to swim in like 7 lessons. But I feel like being pseudo poor is like, then you have to share the time, share the teacher, the whole nine, and that's how you kind of just, everything just goes in slow motion and your bank account slowly drains.
It makes no sense, man. Like, I get so frustrated with all the things that you spend so much money on and you don't get what you think you should. Like, kid toys are that way a lot. You spend like $150 on a kid toy. That fucker better deliver hours of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ones they don't care about.
And then the fucking – and that's when it drives you crazy because those always are the boxes they play. They'll play with the box for the expensive toy. They won't play with the box for the dollar toy, the expensive toy, and then that's when it really drives you up the fucking wall.
Yep, and they just kind of throw it out. So that was a big dad moment for us. Both of us were like, we go from like joking around to being like legit frustrated on how much money we've spent on toys that our kids don't give a fuck about.
This week's episode of Podfather is brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. I'm about to come back up to New York and I need my family to be safe as shit while I'm there. I rely on Simply Safe like millions of other Americans do. Simply Safe is a home security system. It is another fantastic way to keep my family safe. It's super easy too. Each Simply Safe system is a security arsenal, expertly engineered to protect my home. I can set it up like I did myself. There's no drilling or hardwiring, and I saved hundreds on installation fees. Simply Safe has fast wireless connection to authorities and police dispatch. It's a 24/7 alarm monitoring system that's just $14.99 a month. No hidden fees, no annoying gotchas, that's it. No long-term contracts either. Simply Safe will never lock you into other alarm companies do. They lock you into a long-term contract. You don't have to do that shit. Feel free to cancel at any time. You get a 60-day risk-free trial to try out the system at your home and see if you like it. I can't recommend Simply Safe enough to protect your family. Right now, go to simplysafe.com/barstool. If you order today, you get an extra 10% off, plus free keychain remote, and free shipping. Go to simplysafe.com/barstool.
I think it's time we can go to the Mayday line. We can get some more dads weighing in on this. we got two voicemails today.
Call the Mayday line, 347-746-8637.
If you want to just – sometimes you just need to vent. Like Chaps and I just vented on the air. Thank you for listening. You heard the sigh. That sigh was Chaps is like – That could have turned into like a tumor if we let that develop, or another heart attack, even worse. We have to let it out sometimes, right, Chapsy baby?
No doubt about it.
So, excuse me here. I think this will work. This is our first time doing. I'm doing it via Google Voice on speakerphone. So, let me know if you have any trouble hearing. This first one I just thought was perfect because it makes. If you're wondering why, it makes no fucking sense. But that's exactly what the Mayday line is going to be sometimes, because just crazy raising these fucking kids. All right.
Got a 3-day-old kid.
Can you hear it?
The wife currently has her wedding ring stuck on her finger because she decided to put it back on. The kid came out and was feeding him, all's well, farts. Obviously, we all know it's a shit. Decided that I'll let it ride a little bit, feed him a little bit more. Hopefully he falls asleep. Go to change him, everything's good. Bring him back out, start feeding him a little bit more. Hopefully he falls asleep. Farts again. Hold him up. Ask the wife, hey, you and your stuck wedding ring finger, do I need to change him? No, you're good. Go into the room to change the diaper, not the clothes. Forgot to put a diaper on. Kid's got shit from his tits to his knees. Wife's wedding ring is probably going to get cut off from 10 snips. It's mayhem. It's fucking mayhem over here.
He sounds so creepy.
Like that was our first ever voicemail on it. I'm like, oh shit, we've just opened Pandora's box. Like that, I couldn't even follow the story the first few times I heard it. I just wedding ring, like I didn't know what was going on, and then he's just like, shit.
But that's perfect, man. That's exactly what it's like. I've never heard somebody say with such defeat in their voice that it's mayhem. Usually when you think mayhem, it's like straight up pandemonium where people are going crazy. He just sounds like a defeated dude, man. I love it.
The typical mayhem, you think like like the crazy circus music, like that's like the sad circus music, like
and you so know for, you know exactly what he's going through. You know exactly what he means when you say the kid has shit from his tits to his knees, like that he just straight up covered. Like how do you get it that much? Because I think if I'm running around, I have no toilet as a grown man, 35 years old soon. I'm just going to squat and have one little nice pile. Not babies, dude. They are getting straight up ham in there. There's no shame in their game.
And the thing about shit is like that shit is instant it instantly stains no matter what. So you have the bed sheets, you have the, if you have a rug in the room, a carpet, whatever it may be, the clothes, obviously clothes just get thrown out at that point. Like, and there's a chance your baby could be a genius in that shit and you won't know unless you have some doctor come and like fucking needle around in it. So funny hearing a person in the shit, but again, that's what the Mayday line is. It's us here for you. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you, right?
I disagree. I'm laughing at them.
All right, this next one hits a little close to home, so we had to include it, and it's pretty topical here. Let's see. This one came in on Sunday at 8:49 p.m. Let's see.
The time is very important too for a lot of these.
Yeah, this one especially.
8:49, you want to be done with your parenting.
You hear that? Do you friggin' hear that? That is my daughter who sleeps like an angel every single night. But tonight, on July 16th, Sunday night, 9 minutes away from Throne.
Oh, no.
That is happening. Oh, my God.
I literally feel like this is perfect because there are those moments as a dad, as a mom too, when you know you want to watch Game of Thrones. Everybody before 9 o'clock wants to watch fucking Game of Thrones. It's what you've been looking forward to for like a year if you love it. This dude sounds like he loves it. The wife knows. The wife is upstairs like trying to get the kid calmed down. The dad knows that the wife is trying as hard as she possibly can to get the baby down in 10 minutes. Both of you are saying that it's not going to happen. You're both addicted to social media. You're going to see a spoiler alert somewhere. And if you did on this episode, spoiler alert, pause it if you don't want to hear one. Arya Stark spoiler came across Twitter pretty damn fast, I assume. I wasn't on Twitter whenever it came, but I imagine that it was there pretty quick. So this dude knows that he might see a spoiler because his kid won't show it up, and he can't be frustrated at his wife. He can't be frustrated at his kid because it'll just make the whole situation worse. So all he had as an option to vent was to call the fucking Mayday line.
That's what we're here for. We're saving the world. We're saving the world one dad at a time. Or one more. The moms can call in too, but we're saving the world one parent at a time.
I want to hear some moms call in and talk about their husbands being shitty. I want to hear a mom that's just fed the fuck up about how shitty her husband is.
We're gonna look at the funners. We're like, the call is coming from inside the house. It's like our wives are calling up complaining about us. My asshole husband he cut the fucking cornhole boards in half because he doesn't know how to cut a circle.
If you're a wife that listens to, or a partner who listens to the Podfather show with your boyfriend or husband or whoever, and they don't know that you listen to it, and they also listen to the show, call in and shock the shit out of them by having your voice on the podcast.
Yeah, even if you're pregnant, you know, that counts too. I mean, we fuck up from the time that baby starts in there till fucking they graduate college. So don't
And ladies,
don't hold
also,
back.
If we fuck something up, feel free to call in and tell us that we're fucking idiots too. That
yes, might be please good. Do.
If we fuck up something with breastfeeding, like, no, you idiot, putting cabbage over your nipples doesn't stop the milk from coming. If we wanted to get into that, we could. Mayday line's here for all that.
Yep, Mayday line again. It is
347-746-8637.
This one hit close to home too because Sienna cried from 8 o'clock p.m., an hour before Thrones, till 9:30 p.m., straight through. And I was downstairs for the first hour getting our Game of Thrones podcast. Check it out, Game of Thrones, me and Charlie Wisco. YouTube.com/TheClumReport. But it was a straight hour and a half. We just were trying to let her cry it out, and literally we just had to give up, and we just took her in the room, and she just watched Thrones with us. We're like, if Melisandre gets banged, or if a bunch of people's heads get chopped off, or if a kid gets lit on fire, like, she just has to learn about it sooner or later, and it's going to be now. And that's just kind of what we have to do sometimes. Sometimes the kid has to watch an incredible, gory, sexual show for your own benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I completely do.
So keep it coming to the Mayday line. Keep them coming to the Podfathers mailbag, kfcradio.com/askdad. If you don't want your voice on the air, you have a long question you want to just write out, you can contact us there as well.
Let's move into some bedtime stories.
All right. So all the things we complain about our kids, let's change it up here now. You want to lead off? Or you want me to lead off?
Sure, I will. I go out of town this coming Wednesday to go up to New York for a little while, do some things up there. So it's really from now until then is my last really week of not having my daughter at home, because when I fly back home the next day, I'll pick her up from Austin. And she has been calling and texting me so much, like, that she can't wait to come home, that she misses me. She's looking forward to going golfing. And it's really cool that she's at the stage now where I don't kind of pressure her to talk to me. Like, I just, I'll text her in the morning, like, hey, baby, love you type situation. So then when she does call, like, I know she is, like, devoted just to talking to me and, like, focused on it. And when I pick up on FaceTime and I'm doing something where she knows it's, like, not the most convenient, you could tell that it means, like, a lot to her. And her face, like, really, like, lights up. And I'm just super pumped to have my other baby home. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But, you know, that's the other thing. Like, everyone in the office is so excited when Daddy Boy Chaps is in the office. But you forget, like, your family, obviously, you know, the family that's at home in Texas is missing you. And then your daughter who's gone for the summer is missing you. And it, like, we just get the beautiful Chapsy for only so long. And it hurts us when we miss you, too. I, you know, maybe I should start texting you, let you know how much I miss you when you leave, too. Just
don't
so
text
you know.
Me. Let me see that face on FaceTime, my friend.
Good stuff, man. My bedtime story is just kind of so. We always say how you always think your kid's going to be like, if they can kick a ball well, you think they're going to be like an athlete. If they can sing or dance, you think they're going to be like a professional. Sienna's big thing these days is she's been drawing a lot, and she draws a lot, like, legitimately better circles than I can draw. And we're like, she's going to be an artist now. So that's the latest thing. And every time she draws like pictures of the circle with the, and she puts the eyes, the nose, the mouth in, everything is on point, makes mommy, daddy, and, you know, Sienna all together and the thing, beautiful family portraits. And we have like 1,000 of these fucking things now. And you would think that it gets old. It only gets like better every single time. And she goes, that's mommy, that's daddy. And like, I'm always the big fucking blob of the family. So like, that's how I know she's a good artist. She's actually like getting the scales down correctly. So shout out to Sienna for having, she clearly has her mother.
Roast of dad.
Yeah, exactly. I draw you all fucking hot dog fingers, daddy, you fucking blogger loser.
Meanwhile, McCarty's a fucking 2-year-old or 4-year-old scientist.
Yeah, exactly. And she's 15 second color thinking she's fucking Picasso back there.
Hell yeah. All right, that's the show. Looking forward to the first couple what do we call those? Oh, bedtime stories when Kevin comes back to hear the stories of, and I'm sure it's gonna be, there'll be a lot of Keegan stories. But you know that little Miss Shay Shay is being just flat out adorable as a big sister. The little boop noise that she did, the beep on his nose when she first met him, was all time money moment.
Yeah, I told him. I said that picture that he tweeted out of her holding Keegan, and she has like the shock face, like, oh my God. I was like, dude, you frame that, you make a Christmas ornament out of that, you put it on a t-shirt. Like, that is what it's all about right there, man.
He needs to get a t-shirt of Shay and Keegan flipping off the camera and then just with the caption of just fuck you, Dave, on it. And I think that'll be perfect.
Go Kev, go. Hashtag go Kev, go.
Yeah. Clancy's forever. All right. That's the show. See you, Clemmy.
Later, baby.
And that ends the Whiskey Boys part of our podcast. Coming up, we have a little interview with CT. Again, we didn't get too much time with him. We kind of just talked a little bit of fatherhood. We talked about MTV The Challenge, being the like scariest dude ever on TV to becoming like the champion of dads and on reality TV, and a man all of us dads and parents can root for. Again, talked a lot of Challenge, and that interview is going to be brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. So you know what? You just get it out there. It hits all the spots, gets the good people, brings them in, man. Get a, not only just a wide net, but a efficient net that gets the good stuff. Super great bait, the whole nine. We use some fishing analogies like my boy Chaps probably would appreciate. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. That's ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. And now to the CT interview.
All right, and welcome to the Podfathers. This is your favorite Podfather, Clem. And I am riding solo today. We got your boy KFC, just had his baby. Keegan Francis Clancy is in the world now. 810, that is a monster child right there. Chapsy's in Texas, so I am here with, this was my number one for a good long time on the Podfathers. I've been dying for him to come on ever since we found out he had a kid. CT from the challenge, yeah. Welcome to the Podfathers.
Thanks, I'm subbing in today.
On the ones and twos.
For the new dad. Welcome to the Dad Nation.
Dad Nation. No, fellow fatty kid. He was calling his kid fucking fatso for months. And
8 pounds. That's a big boy.
That's a big boy. How big was yours when he came out?
He was all head. I think he was what? Was he seven? Seven and change. Seven and change, yeah. All head. All noggin.
So we're here. We're joined by CT. I never thought I do a challenge podcast called the No Quarters Podcast. And obviously do the Podfathers podcast. I never thought I'd be interviewing CT for my dad podcast before I was doing my challenge podcast. But life's a trip, dude. Life's a trip.
Yeah.
We've had CT on No Quarters a bunch of times. We've had people, different guests on No Quarters a bunch of times. And everyone said CT, you know, the guy we see on TV when we were growing up, and a lot of the people who are parents on the show are around my age, and it's kind of the sweet spot for the challenge in terms of viewers. We saw quite a different man than the man you are today, strolling around Barstool.
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber, man.
I remember when Barstool was like a newsletter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave was out slinging them on the corner, fighting homeless people to, like, get the word out there.
That's how you do it, man. And now you guys are a machine. It's awesome to finally be here. Yeah.
You get to see the flags flying and legit podcast studios and like actual real deal technology. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, you guys are everywhere now. It's funny, my little brother, he's happy, excited for me, but he's also kind of mad at me because I'm here and he's not. Yeah.
So is he in Boston?
Yep. He's about to have another baby too.
Oh, how much?
He's going to have a girl. He's got a boy now. He's having a girl. Proud of him. He's doing real good.
Uncle CT.
Uncle C. It's a nice ring to it, right?
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I'm the cool uncle.
So how has life changed since? So you have a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
You're down in Florida now.
Yeah.
Are you down in Florida?
Yep.
Yeah. Down in Florida.
Flip-flops.
1.5-year-old. Back on the challenge again.
I am.
Time's a flat circle.
I thought I was done. I took a hiatus. I thought I was done. Came back on. You know, I feel like I did it for the right reasons. You know, came out of retirement, won invasion for little man. And, you know, mic drop, I'm done. You know, nothing else to prove. And then, sure enough, they hit me up. Hey, you want to do one for charity? Sure. By the way, Challenge 30 is going to be a big one. You should be a part of it. Okay. I just have a hard time saying no. I think I'm giving myself a limit. I think if I can do them until, you know, if I'm lucky enough to keep doing these, I think by the time he's 5 would be a good time to bow out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, he's going to stop first grade and everything. You know, I should be around. You can't be traveling around, you know.
That's cats in the cradle shit. You can't be going to Thailand for fucking weeks at a time.
Yeah, right.
And your kid is like his first baseball game and shit like that. So that was the thing.
So back to your question, how has life changed? You know, back in the day when it was just me, you know, I had zero regard for my own safety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't help but look at everything like, how is that going to hurt me or him? You know, everything.
And then you just, like, I started here at Barstool in November of 2015. I went to Latvia for Kristaps Porzingis' piece, and I'm flying to Moscow, and I go, what the fuck? My kid was a year and change at that point, and and I just saw it as I'm up on that flight, I go, this plane goes down, like, you know, boom. My wife's solo, and good luck on that shit. It's hard enough with two, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is one of those things that it kind of, like, you have to watch out for your own safety, and then you're constantly worried about their safety.
Yeah. Well, my safety, I'm more concerned about pulling my back out if I drop my keys on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while I'm holding him, he's 30 pounds now. So what I do now is I use him as like one of those claw games where you get the teddy bear. You know, I just pull him down, he grabs it, pick him back up, and keep him moving.
Once you can like...
Turn the wrong way.
You get a pull, man.
You all right?
All right. See, like, you come in the office, I look, I'm going, this guy's fit, he's in shape, but, you know, there's years of tread on those tires, right? Yeah, that you may not see to the
eye. A lot of wear and tear, you know, my back, my lower back for sure. Hamstrings are super tight. I feel like they're going to snap at any moment. I tried going to yoga once.
Got to keep it limber, though, man. You're getting older, you know, you can't just fucking end up on the couch. You know,
I actually have a new way of stretching my hamstrings. So I'm playing with little man on the ground, you know, I got my feet out, right? Like I'm stretching my hammies, right? You grab your toes.
Yep.
But I'll get the dog. I play tug of war with the dog. So he's assisting. He's pulling on me. And it's all ground. I'm just like, that's right. Get
what kind
hammies.
Of dog?
He's a big duke. He's part alligator, part dinosaur. He looks like, he's a pit bull, but he looks like a boxer. He keeps growing. I don't know how much big he is. And he's like 100 pounds.
How old?
He's about 5 now, 6.
Yeah. So that's how you're stretching out.
That's
you're just
how I
getting
stretch
down.
Play tug of war with the dog.
That's the hardest thing about being a parent, that they don't tell you anything about that you can't see. There's a lot of shit that goes down that you can maybe like read in a book or listen on a podcast with a bunch of idiots like us. But like, you're always on the goddamn floor, and I'm a big dude, and I'm just like, going down, and then getting up, and like, it's rough, man.
If you leave something down there, you're like, do I really need it?
Yeah. And like you said, you just like, you're the claw now. Yeah. Like, go down and get it. Yeah. Once my daughter like, we'd be like, hey, go get the beer from the refrigerator. You're like, damn, I got myself like a pseudo slave now, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, girl, I couldn't imagine. What do you tell a lady? I mean, I would, if I had a girl, I'd have been like, look, you're on your own, because I'm going to do anything she tells me. She wants a banana split for breakfast, she's getting it. She wants to go to school in a Disney princess costume, she's doing it.
100%. No, you nailed everyone on this podcast. I have a 2.5 girl. Kevin has a 1.5 girl. Chaps, I think 12 and 4 now. So he is a little bit of a gap. And then Kevin just literally had the first boy of the podcast this morning. All right. Little Fatso. So little Keegan Francis Clancy, welcome to the world. So, but all 4 of us were so fucked, man. Wrapped around the finger. Yeah. And like, I think, I don't know if you're like me, but when you find out the kid's sex, I think a lot of guys always want a boy because they could, I'm going to be in the backyard playing catch and shoot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right now, he's indestructible. I can throw him around, smack him around. If he's getting annoying, get out of here. He doesn't really cry anymore unless he's really hurt, you know?
Yep.
He's past that. He's just like, I mean, have you seen any of the, on my Instagram, I got some photos of him, of videos. I call him Bam Bam right now.
Bam Bam, yeah, that's a good nickname.
He wants to smash everything.
But with girls, for me, it's like, you know, I was a pretty good kid, all things considered, and especially towards chicks. But, yo, man, I get worried about, like, my daughter dating friends like my friends. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of shit I'm worried. Like, college and high school and, like, she's going to hate my wife. Like, she loves my wife now. Teenage years, they just all hate all the girls hate their moms. And they daddy, she's wrapped around the finger. You know what I mean?
She breaks up with you. She's too cool to give you a hug or a kiss anymore.
Doesn't want to see when she's picking up. Like, dad, just go down the road. I'll walk there.
Breaks
your
heart, right? She's going to turn into a teenager. She's going to break up with me.
But you got a boy. And like I said, you know, kind of the thing with boys is with sports and all that stuff. So what are you going to do? He's in Florida. You're a Boston guy.
He's for now. We're in Florida. I mean, time will tell. I tell you what, man, he's a maniac. Like I said, I call him a little Bam Bam now, because if I have to get him into sports, or he's going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to.
So you kind of said this on the show when you first came back. Again, they trick you, man. They get you back, then they do a charity, and then they know how to get you stuck in the web, man. MTV's like that. But you said, like, a big part of it was you wanted your kid to kind of see you in this new light, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's, like, 3 CT stages in my mind. As a Challenge fan since day one, literally, I was back in Real World. My old ass was Real World 2 was the first one I watched. But there's 3 CTs. There's Crazy CT, the man, the myth, the legend, the whole nine, eat your face. Adam getting his face crushed every so often. Then there was Glasses CT, which was like the thinker, the quiet guy. And you just, it was for a few seasons, you'd be pretty quiet. There was no fights.
Well, I wear contacts, that's why. So sometimes if I, I don't let my eyes breathe, I just put my glasses on.
But we always felt like Glasses CT kind of was like playing the cerebral, because we're idiots.
I was an engineer major in college before I got on the show.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. My senior year in high school, I worked for a radio engineering firm. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
And then today we have Dad CT, Dad Bod CT, whatever you want to call it. Dude has a ring already.
Yeah.
And here it is. So is that, like, that's the thing for me. I'm a blogger. I write for Barstool Sports, you know, whatever connotation you want to take it. I think we're, you know, I think when people look at us from the outside, they'll be like, oh, they're misogynist, this and that. But I think once you realize we're a bunch of just regular dudes just being regular, you know? But I do get scared.
Well, nowadays you can't even sneeze without somebody getting offended.
Yep, exactly.
It's annoying.
And I think we've long been the banner men for the other side of that. And then as it goes two different directions, us, even if we've softened up at all, people are just getting more and more offended easily. And then it's just like KFC here. I mean, that guy has like 1,000 blogs. He probably wants wife from the internet. He has two kids now, a daughter and a son. They're going to have to live with that. His son's initials are KFC as well. So, I mean, I kind of understand where you're coming from there. Where it's like, I don't know if my daughter, if I'm going to want her reading some of the badass shit I was writing, especially when I first started. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I can kind of see where you're coming from with that. So you think, I mean, I think it's awesome, man. I think just seeing you on TV, I think a lot of the listeners of the No Quitters podcast and Podfathers kind of dig seeing, like, you know, we feel like we know you the whole time. You know, I think that's kind of the strength of Barstool is people feel like they know us because the way we write.
Well, they know you. You just don't know them.
Exactly.
So when people
say,
is it weird that people come up to you all the time? It's like you have a better understanding of it because you've been doing this for so long. Mm-hmm. You learn to appreciate it, you know?
And do you like that? Do you like when people like will say hi in public? I mean, obviously, if you're
I mean, I can't complain about it, you know.
Yeah,
it's a good problem to have, you know. There are times when, you know, I don't want any attention. I don't really look for attention anyway. But I mean, I know if I go out to a public place that, you know, it's gonna happen sooner or later. You can't really be upset about it. What's weird is what I don't appreciate when there's a lack of respect, you know, someone's in your personal space, and I don't think they necessarily even realize what's happening. Where, you know, just because I do a reality TV show doesn't mean my whole entire life is up for grabs.
Yep.
You know, my private life and or little things. Like if I saw you at dinner, you know, say anybody, I don't know. You know, if I'm at dinner, having a private dinner, I mean, there are people that will come over and like sit down next to me, like with their selfie cam ready, locked and loaded, asking me all these questions. I got half a meatball on my face, you know. It's like, can I breathe for a second here? You know.
So what we do here is I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but we have a couple segments we do where it's like, don't tell your mother. So is there anything you have ever done with the kid when you were like, oh shit, don't tell mom this just happened? So our friend, our boy Chaps, one time he walked in, his kid was eating dog shit. Literally just teeth filled to the gills with shit. My kid, like, barely even walking top of the stairs, and I was like, oh shit, you could have just tumbled your ass down there. So do you have anything, any don't tell your
mother
moments?
What I've done so far, you know, he got a huge bump on his head. I tried to put a hat on, which made it worse. You know, and I got yelled at. This is why I can't ever leave you alone with him. You know.
It's always the covering of the crime is always worse than the crime. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to give him the, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, come on, you're fine. Oh, it's okay. Hey, try to make him laugh and everything. Ah! And of course, she comes in right as he's screaming. You know, they didn't have time to, you know, throw a bag of ice on it.
Yep, throw some peas on it.
He gave me a black eye once.
Just headbutting you?
No, because he's always smashing everything like bam, bam. And he has his little sippy cup. In the corner of the sippy cup, he comes out of nowhere. Like, I'll be laying on the couch thinking he's cool, and all of a sudden, bang, you know? Because he wants to play. Ha! And then he wants me to chase him. And he hit me with the corner of that sippy cup, the bottom of the sippy cup, right on my eye bone there.
Like the orbital shit right there. Right,
right on the other side, but right underneath.
Okay. Yep.
And I thought, I was like, ooh, got me good, you motherfucker. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I woke up the next day, and I was like, all right. With me, so everybody, if I walk around with a black eye, everyone's like, oh, so you got another fight, something's happening, changed. Oh, yeah. So, Dad, you are, you know. So I didn't leave the house for like 3-4 days. So, God.
When they hit you, too, sometimes you just see red, and you just have to suck it in, because it's like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? You just have to. And the thing is, they really do have, it's the truest thing, man. I never thought it would happen to me. Like, kids are cute, kids are this. You see a bunch of million fucking kids a day. But then it's your own. It's like, it's a different world, man. Mm. You know what I mean? I say my kid's the cutest kid in the world, but I mean, I might be biased, but I also think it's the right thing. But it really is crazy. They really just have you wrapped around their finger from the fucking jump.
Yeah.
At the hospital, man. At the hospital, you just.
I'll tell you what, when everything he does, you're so proud of him.
Yeah, the littlest
the
thing.
The dumbest thing.
It's like, oh, and you even say, like, I know we're just not going to be those parents, but I think he's going to be, like, a fucking genius. Or, I think he's going to be a home runner. He's going to have play center field for the Red Sox. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you really do fall into all those typical parents.
I tell you, it's weird. Like, when he learns a new word and stuff like that, and, you know, he tries to take his clothes off and stuff like that, I think I'm proud of him. But I think the proudest moment was when he fell really hard. Well, one of the falls where I was just like, ooh. And there's that moment where you're looking at him, like, how are we doing this? Are we good? Are we not? You crying? What are we doing? And he fell pretty hard. And he, like, fell. Usually he catches himself with his hands, but he headbutted the floor now. And I was like, oh, please not the nose. Please not the nose. And he looked back at me. And then just got up and walked away. I was like, oh, I'm so proud of him. Like, he wasn't crying, you know, because before it was like, as soon as he fell, he would cry. You know, grandma comes barreling down the hallway, you know.
Sometimes I feel like they're even at the point where they're like, am I going to make him, like, work for this now, or am I going to let him off the hook? And I feel like he's like, I'll let him off the hook. I'm not going to cry right now. Tell you, sometimes I don't think they're hurt, but they want to get, like, the hugs and the love and the attention and shit like that.
I was proud of him. I was like, ooh, that was a good one.
My kid just got it, so my kid got into recently Star Wars and The Simpsons, two things I love, and I didn't even push her at all.
Nice.
And, like, once they start getting into your stuff, like, if he wants a dad, I want to watch the Red Sox.
I'm
like,
yeah, you know, right, I mean, like, right.
That shit's mad cool. You just get proud. You get proud over the littlest things, man. It really is true. It really is true. So thanks again, man. Thanks for coming in. Yeah. Loved having you.
Make sure you guys tune in for Dad Nation. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock?
MTV, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. The dad squad is is here to stay. We're rocking with them. And we'll have Tony on No Quitters tomorrow, so representing the dads as well. And Leroy and Bananas, they may have a couple kids they don't know about. We'll see what's popping with them. But thanks again, CT, and we'll be rooting for you, bro. Me.